KNOM Profiles.
What are you doing, Daddy?
The interview.
Oh.
This is Phil Hofstetter, third place finisher in this year's 2014 Iditarod Trail Invitational.
This year, the trail was just completely for bikers because there was hardly any pushing or any, it was just riding all the way.
So hard packed snow, ice, and dirt, that was mainly the terrain?
Pretty much, yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, glare ice too, you could see like right down to the bottom sometimes.
And what was the first year that you did this race?
2008.
I'm Anna Rose MacArthur, and I met Phil at his house in Nome last Friday, March 7th, about 30 minutes after he crossed the finish line. I actually walked in the door with his wife, Sarah, and his two young kids, Hannah and Joe. His kids raced towards him, latching onto his legs. He hugged them, then kissed Sarah. Phil's face was unshaven, his standing stiff and a little shaky, eyes tired, but he was all smiles, happy to see his family and eager to talk. Sarah placed a hot plate of chicken curry in front of him. He took one bite and was ready to do the interview. Throughout our conversation, you can hear Sarah and the kids in the background.
I came in at 8 o'clock, so that would put it at 12 days and 6 hours.
That time is 5 days and 3 hours faster than when Phil won the race in 2010. And that time is 3 days and 5 hours faster than the previous long-standing record set in 2000 by Colorado cyclist Mike Kuriak. The reason for this year's fast trail was this winter's lack of fresh snow.
It was real hard packed. There's not much snow. You know, I've been hearing about that with the Iditarod. But it ends up being fast for biking. The ice, we had studs on the tires. I still fell over a lot, but it still made for a fast trail. You're not grinding through deep snow. You're not pushing the bike through snow. It was just almost all exclusive riding.
Every year since 2002, 50 competitors from around the world have been invited to participate in the Iditarod Trail Invitational. It's a race, stretching across Alaska. The route follows the historic Iditarod Trail. What happens is, the last week of February, a week before the Iditarod Trail sled dog race begins, competitors on bikes, skis, or foot start in Kinnick in southeast Alaska, about 50 miles north of Anchorage, and they race northwest, 350 miles to McGrath, a small community on the Kuskokwim River. The fastest recorded time for that race is 2 days, 4 hours, and 43 minutes. That record was actually set this year by cyclist Kevin Breitenbach. But Phil didn't stop in McGrath. He and 16 other competitors continued onwards to Nome, completing the second part of the race, a full 1,000 miles over Alaska wilderness, climbing over mountains, tundra, and sea ice, all the way to the Bering Sea coast. The Iditarod Trail Invitational website calls the race the world's longest winter ultramarathon.
I was training pretty hard this year up until I got the flu and maybe some pneumonia, and I couldn't ride a lot. And unfortunately, when that happened, I didn't have enough training in. So, you know, I got saddle sores really bad. Like, I couldn't even sit on my seat. I had to stand up pedal from Ruby on.
Ruby is just over halfway through the race, about 500 miles into the 1,000-mile journey.
It was really very difficult. My knees weren't used to it, all the climbing load. I had to, like, get in shape a little more as I went. I don't know if you had a chance to interview Jeff Oatley, but he's incredible. He just ran with it, and he was unbeatable. He put both Aiden and I under the table for sure.
Fairbanks cyclist Jeff Oatley arrived first into Nome this year and demolished the long-standing 14-year record. By demolished, I mean Oatley beat the record by almost 5 full days. Oatley kept 10 days, 2 hours, and 53 minutes. Coming in second was English cyclist Aidan Harding. He arrived a day ahead of Phil. And as a side note, I did get to interview Jeff. And here was Jeff's reaction to the race about an hour after crossing the finish line.
There was not a lot of times when I was out there going, I wish I was at my desk doing work. I was having a blast.
Jeff is a friend of mine, and I would love to have been buddying up with him because I knew if we were buddying up, we would be at the top of the race. After McGrath, we stayed together up until almost Ruby. We were in one of the cabins, and he wanted to leave, and then I wanted to leave with him, but I really needed to rest. Otherwise, I was going to explode. But then he took off, and I was the last I saw of him. It was a lonely race, even though it was kind of fast.
So was there any point along the route when you thought, this isn't going to happening, I'm not going to go on, or was it always, I'm going all the way to Nome?
The race was flying by, and I had no problems at all up until crossing from Shaktulik to Koyuk. It was blowing so hard, and I got lost. There's open leads, and I left in the middle of the night, and it was blowing white out, and I lost the sticks that cross over to this place called Island Point, where there's a shelter cabin. And they ended up going inland into the mountains. And because it was so cold and windy, my eyes started getting this halo effect. And I thought it was frostbite. I thought I frostbit my eyes. So I saw the Island Point and I made a beeline for it. I think it was like a 5 mile. I ran for it as hard as I could. So I got a fire going. And I was a little nervous. That was something that I did not expect. I lost a bunch of time doing that, but it was also brutal, brutal, brutally cold with the wind. The halo went away. I think it was exhaustion, but I think that was a really unexpected challenge that kind of threw me mentally.
Competitors are not allowed any outside assistance throughout the race. To do so would mean a scratch. No family members, friends, or pacers can meet racers along the route. Also, participants can't arrange for anyone outside the race to break trail. Furthermore, racers must carry all their own gear and clothing from beginning to end. As long as racers follow these rules, they can take any course to get from destination to destination. There is no marked trail or designated route. There are no mandatory layovers or required equipment to carry. Racers just have to sign in and out at 10 set checkpoints along the trail. And this severance from external support and absence of guidance is purposeful. The race was created for competitors to rely on their own abilities and level of experience. The participants decide what to carry, when to ride, when to rest, and what course to take.
So going that 1,000 miles, mentally, how do you prepare for that? I mean, it seems like physically you can train, but mentally, how do you get yourself to that point?
Just doing it in small steps, like on the trail, I just think of the next checkpoint, the next place, the next camp, where I want to go next, and that's it. I don't think Nome at all.
But Phil did make it to Nome, and in record time, too. What's more, unlike the other competitors, Phil lives in Nome, so he wasn't just racing to the finish. He was racing home.
You live in Nome, and it ends in Nome, and you can bike literally just up to your front door. What's that like?
It was really strange pulling in tonight. It was just like I went for a bike ride, and I came in, and then I went to the, you know, we had a little gathering at the arch, and then I rode my bike, and it's in my garage just like I usually do. It was just really cool, and here I am.
The arch is Nome's famous burled arch. It sits in the middle of downtown Front Street, marking the end of the Iditarod Trail. It's placed in the street a day before the first musher from the Iditarod Trail sled dog race is expected into town. Only this year, for the first time in the race's history, the invitational bikers arrive before the first mushers. The burled arch hadn't been set in the street yet. It still sat by the side of the road. And unlike the Iditarod Trail sled dog race, when the Iditarod Invitational competitors cross under the arch, there is no purse waiting for them. There is no compensation, no money, no prizes, and unless you have a friend or family member in Nome, there's usually no cheering crowd or really anyone for that matter at the finish. No one noticing that you just biked, walked, or skied 1,000 miles across Alaska.
I took 3 weeks off for this race, and since I finished a week early, I'm going to take the next week and just stay with my family. I really miss my family this time for sure. I mean, the last couple of days, as I kept saying, you know, what am I doing this race for? What what is the point? There's no prize money. There's nothing at the end. It's just, I just kept thinking of my family. So it was a little bit hard too. And I think that had to do after the wind event over the bay.
That cheer in the background, that was Sarah, Phil's wife. This interview occurred last week, and since then, Phil has been resting and spending time with his family. Whether he will race again next year is unknown, but as for this year's race, here's what Phil had to say overall.
It was a wonderful race now that I'm here, and I'm glad you got to interview Jeff. Couldn't have been a better guy to get that record. That's really, really solid.
10 bikers have made it into Nome so far for the 2014 Iditarod Trail Invitational. 6 competitors remain on the trail to Nome, 1 more on bike and 5 others on foot. You can follow their progress on iditaradtrailinvitational.com and meet them under the World Arch when they arrive at the finish into Nome. To hear more stories about Phil's biking adventures, tune into Story 49 this Sunday evening at 5:30, and then again this Thursday at 12:30 noon. For KNOM Profiles, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
Profiles is a production of KNOM News and Public Affairs.